You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 50, and I'm your host, Anne Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Join me on today's show is Kendra DeLarge. Kendra is a strategically transparent and audacious empowerment speaker, author, mentor, and missionary. She's the founder of International Kendra, a mission committed to fiercely crossing ethnic, religious, cultural, and societal barriers to break the chains of oppression and brokenness through conferences, through social media and mentoring, and of course this podcast interview. She's the visionary behind The Safe Haven, an upcoming innovative global initiative to establish transitional shelters for women and girls who are victims of heinous violence due to the imbalances and prejudices in culture and society. Kendra is an active member of the powerful Women International Connections. She serves as a leader of Women of Visionary Influence, a rising circle leader for Women Speak. She's been featured on radio, on TV, and written publications, and she is the author of The Walk, From Hearing to Knowing, a compelling and riveting book about her personal triumph journey through some of life's most difficult, controversial, and tabooed challenges. Now, specifically on today's show, Kendra is going to share, your temporary condition does not change your position. Be direct yet empathetic, and the top three terms that others have described her qualities and how she now humbly wears those stripes with dignity due to the battle scars that came with them. So welcome to the show, Kendra.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
That is such an impressive bio and in history. It really shows that you're passionate about what you do. Just share with listeners and viewers today a little bit of a history on how, I guess, God led you to the path where you're now contributing, sharing your knowledge and your insights across all of these very important mission works and organizations.
Well, all through my life, I've had a lot of challenges. I was the product of an adulterous relationship. My mother and my grandfather's best friend. Mm-hmm. She tried to abort me twice and it did not work both times. So God's hand was even on my life, of course, at conception. Mm-hmm. And different things that I went through in my life, whether it be sexual abuse, you know, just different challenges that I had as a child. I was also 2 years ahead of myself in school. And no one knew about that. So I lived a double life. I was this older girl at school and this younger girl at home. So I kind of knew how to hide things and I kind of knew how to keep certain things to myself and how to be strategic in what I allowed to be revealed about me. Mm. Around 15 or 20 years ago, the Lord gave me a vision of this transitional shelter. And I was sitting there and I was just drawing out what I was just seeing in the vision. Mm. And then I had a dream and I said, okay, this does not look like the United States. And from the dirt and from the children that I saw, I knew that it was in Africa. Mm. But at that time, I had never been on a plane. I didn't have a passport. So I kind of, ignored the vision for a while. Well, I started to go through a lot of things that a lot of women who are victims of the things, those imbalances in cultural society started to go through. I went through periods of adultery, of abuse, abandonment. I went through transitional housing where I was displaced, lost my home, lost my car, lost the job. I was a sole parent for two children for a little while. I've gone through widowhood. I've been, married, divorced. So you name it, I've been through a lot of the trials and tribulations that we as women have gone through. And so he kind of prepared me for this vision by walking me through everything that the women that I come in contact with would endure.
Mm.
So that's how I got started.
Wow. Can I just say that, you know, God often through challenges and circumstances is building the strength that we now go and impart insights and share. But I tell you what, just hearing your story, my heart goes out to you. But I guess it's in His strength that had held you through, because even half or even a third, even a few of those situations and circumstances that many women go through is enough to have them just hold their hands up. I give up. That is just, just so impossible for me to even be able to come out of on the other end. But through His grace, thank God that He has done that. If we're hearing, or if someone is listening today and is watching, what insights, before we move forward, because I know for sometimes when we're hearing someone share our story, it really can trigger within us that which we have not forgiven, that which we have not moved through. So I'd really love you to speak some words of encouragement to women who might be watching that are in that situation.
You know, there were times when I wanted to give up. I didn't, you know, this is the glory side you're seeing, but there is a deep backstory. There are things that happened in the home and things in my life where I wanted to give up, but there was something on the inside of me, even the side of a thread that said, no, you cannot give up. You have to hold on. It challenges your mind. It challenges your emotions and all these different pressures and things from family, friends and work and even children come against you. And like you said, it's the strength of God that keeps you. It is nothing that I did on my own to keep me. It was God Himself. You know, when He takes you through the wilderness, He gives you exactly what you need to the point to where you may want to give up. It's like you get the bare necessities that will keep you going until you get to the other side. Just like He did the Israelites in their wilderness. He kept their shoes. He kept their clothes. But they only had the bare minimum for existence while they were walking it out. So that's the same thing that He does with us today. So it's nothing that I did per se, but it is all God. And you have to have a made up mind. You have to know that your strength comes from Him and Him alone. No man, no money, no job, no friend, no nothing can give you the incomparable strength and grace to continue to go forward like God can. That is all I can attribute it to, that it was all
Yeah, I love that story. And I think where so many of us who find ourselves in situations like that, knowing that the Creator of the universe loves us so much, He gives us the strength, you know, and sometimes we'll often question, why am I even in that situation? And that's something that I'm sure you've worked through as well. And look, you know, happy to be guided by the insights you want to share today. But one thing that I do want to share, and this is also for listeners and viewers, that when we meet someone or people who have gone through certain circumstances, what we can often do is in our perception and in the way we approach them, in the way we show love and compassion, is never to judge. So, you know, and so if someone's listening or viewing today, is to know that they are absolutely loved. They are not judged. There is no shame. There is none of that. And so often we need to let that go too. I mean, we're loved by a God, but we also internally need to release, because that in itself can be something that holds us captive. Yes, those feelings of shame and judgment. Yeah, speak a bit more about that.
Yes, the enemy would want to beat us down with condemnation. You know, when the Bible tells us there is no condemnation in Him, He has to let us know that, because that is a great tactic of the enemy to beat us down with guilt and with shame and with blame, as if we're the only ones who have done this, that we're the first and we're the last. And God loves us as we are. He knows that we are a mess. He knows that our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's why we needed Jesus. If there was no need for Him, we would all be perfect and know how to fix ourselves. God knows who we are and what we are, but you have people out here, like you said, that will judge, that will point the finger, that will try to condemn. But we all have to know that the greatest speaker and the greatest pastor evangelist has all gone through that same thing. No matter what you see today, there is a backstory behind it. We have all gone through. We have all sinned and fell short of his glory, and we will always need a Savior.
Absolutely. Amen. And I just needed to share that, I guess, because so often, and being mindful, I think, as Christians particularly, we are all sinners. We are all struggling. We are all in his eyes, and thank God that Jesus died so that we can spend an eternity with him. But really to move forward with compassion and understanding, because, you know, by the grace of God, there go I. But what a mission that you can now speak truth and life and light into the life of these women. So let's talk about your temporary condition does absolutely not change your position, because this is so empowering.
Yes. What that says is that no matter what you're going through, whatever God has called you to does not change. His word does not change because the sun went down one day, because it rained the next day, because hail came on another day. God's word does not change no matter what we go through. And all those different things that we go through are what make us and mold us into what he has called us to be. He calls us from the end to the beginning. He already sees that you're going to be this great missionary. You're going to be this great business owner. And he tells us this at our beginning. And he starts to walk us through all the steps that will get us to that destined end. And you're going to stumble sometimes. You're going to mess up because you're human. We're flawed. We have faults. We're going to mess up. You're going to do things wrong. You may detour. It's like going on a long journey in a car. Sometimes you may go the wrong way. Sometimes you may hit potholes. Sometimes you may have a smooth ride, but you're going to get to your destination, even if it's delayed a little bit because of the mistakes that you've made. So that's why I say our temporary condition does not change our position, because we are going to be what God has called us to be as long as we stay surrendered to the process, no matter how long it is.
Yeah, I love that. Let's talk about being surrendered to the process, particularly, I think, for people who are going, who are transitioning through the troubled time of their life. What did you do that really carried you through?
Oh, my gosh. You know, just relying on God. When you look at the story of David, even today, the man after God's own heart, but David was a mess. He did not, he was not a good father to his children. He killed someone else's husband so that he can have his wife. I mean, David did all these different things wrong, but today he is still the only one that is called the man after God's own heart. So you just have to, it's a repentant heart. It's repentance. God, I'm sorry. I know I messed up. Help me to turn things around. Help me to change. And the more that you grow in the Lord, the more flawed that you see that you are, and the more that you see you need him and how you need to depend on him. So it's like the higher we go, the deeper he digs. So that's how the walk is. The higher you go on the Lord, the deeper he digs, and the more you're going to see how much you do need him.
Yeah,
no matter
absolutely.
How high you go.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the circumstances we do find ourselves in, even if some of our actions or inactions, what we've said, what we didn't say, has contributed to where we're at, often we can, again, self-judge and say that, you know, there's no way that God will forgive me. And even in church just a couple of weeks ago, Kendra, we were talking about, you know, Jonah and how he was told to go to the biggest city then, Nineveh, just to tell them, look, you are destined for destruction because of the ways that you are, you know, your community is participating in. And when, you know, I think it took 3 days for Jonah to share that message, and people started to repent. They really saw that their ways and their actions really grieved God. And so they repented, and God, within his in compassion, forgave them. And it's like, you know what, if we really, you know, are sorry that, you know, for where we're at and what we've done, he is a loving, forgiving God. And share a bit more about that, because sometimes we carry that weight of what we've done around with us. And it's kind of like, we can let that go in Christ, can't we?
Yeah, we can. You know, part of the problem is that we compare ourselves to each other. Mm. Well, she did this, so I should be doing that. And we look at other people as our examples and to seek affirmation or to fill those voids. And we've taken our eyes off God. So that's why we sometimes go into that place of self-condemnation, because we're trying to be like the next person, to look to the left and the right, mm-hmm. rather than to focus on the Lord, because that's what we do. Our flesh, it wants to be glorified. It wants to be perfect. It wants to be on top. It wants to, have everything right. But that's not who we are. There is nothing good about this flesh. Mm-hmm. So when we start looking at ourselves and comparing ourselves to our sisters and our brothers and our neighbors, then we start to bring that self-condemnation upon ourselves, because we're comparing ourselves to other flaws. Mm-hmm. Because who we see are other humans. God is not seen per se with the naked eye. So we focus more on our flesh, in our flesh, of course, of what we can see. So because we can see our neighbors and we can see our brothers and we can see our sisters, we sometimes subconsciously start to compare ourselves to what we see rather than what we know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so true. And, as we know, God has knitted us together in our mother's womb, each with gifts and talents and characteristics, all very unique. And we all have something special that he's blessed us with. Let's talk about being direct yet empathetic. Okay. Some of us need more of this than others, don't we? In our way, we're a little bit too direct, not enough empathy, and vice versa.
You know, Christine, we're living in a age where we are not, the enemy's not playing with us. Mm. He is pulling out all punches. He doesn't care where he hits. He's throwing everything and the kitchen sink at us. And we have to come to a place where we can walk in love, but we have to be direct. We have to be bold. Mm. We have to be, take it by force. Like the Bible says, the kingdom suffer violence, mm. the violent take it by force. We have to be proactive. You know, there's a song that says, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Mm. Sometimes we don't know what we're saying. Soldiers do not sit on the sideline and are reactive. Soldiers are proactive. Soldiers are going into the enemy's camp to knock the enemy out before the enemy gets to knock him out. Mm. So that's, we don't realize some of the things that we're saying. Mm. So that's what we have to do. We have to be strong. We have to be direct. And sometimes the truth will hurt. Mm. We've gotten to a place where we want to coddle. We want to enable. We want everybody to feel good. We're so focused on emotions and sensitivity. Sometimes the truth is going to hurt. Mm-hmm. I would rather hurt today and be healed tomorrow than to know that you lied to me for 3 years and I end up dead.
Mm. Oh, so true. And I think also too, we're reminded that again and again, that our enemy is not the natural, what we see, but yes. really the supernatural, yes. what we can't see, which as Christians, mm-hmm. and for those people mm-hmm. who are listening who may not realize this, that is when mm-hmm. we need to lean in, because the weapons we need, we talk about the putting on the armor of God, mm-hmm. but that is the word and prayer and all of those other things which we know. Talk a little bit about I think action, because sometimes as Christians and I'm putting my hand up whenever I say anything, I'm included in this as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes yeah. by not standing up and saying something, and there's a saying, isn't it, by not sharing a message or saying something to defend or to speak truth into it, it's almost like we're agreeing through our passiveness, isn't it? So we need to, particularly where you're dealing with overseas, where there's so much turmoil and for young girls and women in those developing countries.
Yeah, silence sometimes speaks louder than words in every situation. Silence is a form of agreement. If you don't say anything, you have said everything. Mm. Sometimes, being quiet. Here's the thing. You have to be strategic. You have to not only know what to say, but when to say it, how to say it, and if to say it at all. So we have to use wisdom. We're missing wisdom in a lot of time, in a lot of things that we talk about and that we do. We just go off at the mouth because it feels good and it may be applicable, but you have to be strategic in how you deal with certain things. Just like the enemy is strategic with us. Mm. He knows what to throw at us, but he also has studied us enough to know when and how to throw it at us to be most effective. And that's the same thing that we need to do. We need to be more strategic and walk in wisdom, whose worth, of course, is far above rubies, and walk in wisdom and know when and how to do those things.
Yeah, I love that. And I think sometimes let's talk about some of the things that you see, you know, the organizations that you're with, some of the strategies, because I think that is certainly so key. I mean, our nature and our interaction and our actions, our behavior, as you said, can often speak louder than words. And so I think through building trust and you know, being helpful, sometimes that we don't even need to mention as Christians the name of Jesus, but our attitude and our approach speaks louder that we then have the opportunity to share with people. Share a little bit more about that, this.
You know, I guess it would be, you know, just again, to you said build relationships. You know, we have to be real with people. We have to learn to be transparent. A lot of people that are men and women of God, we walk around as if our lives are perfect, as if nothing is wrong, nothing's going on. And we look down at other people who are going through different things. But the reality is, 2 weeks ago, or maybe 2 years ago, you were probably in that same position that this new person is in. Sometimes we forget where we came from. We don't have to dwell on it, but you better remember where you came from, because God will put you back in that place if you need a reminder. And sometimes we forget that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. The word tells us to compel those to Christ. The way to do that is to be real, to be transparent, and say, hey, I went through this. God did this for me. He can do it for you too. And you mentioned a good thing. Sometimes we don't even have to say the word of Jesus. Our lives is the word of Jesus, is the word of God. And we, it's our walk that speaks for us. Like my book, The Walk From Hearing to Knowing, is how we walk and how we live. People hear what we say, but they do more so watch what we do.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's in our reactions and our actions that people will come to know, will come to perceive who they believe that Jesus is. And it, as Christians, if we are showing the perception with a lack of patience or whatever it might be, we need to then really check in and say, you know, how is that action really, is it uplifting the name or is it detracting? Because I've heard many people sadly say, well, if that's what it's like, I don't want any of it, which is really, really sad. And, you know, we're reminded again and again of Jesus, you know, even when the woman came and all of those people wanted to stone her. And Jesus said, well, you know, ye who is perfect, you and who has not sinned, you pick up the first stone. And everyone kind of just dropped the stones and walked away. And he said, where are you? Where are your, you know, where are the people who were blaming you? And said, I don't know. And he said, well, neither do I. Go. Amazing. He's just compassion, did not go from any blame or shame or anything like that, but really encouraged. Let's talk about the three top terms that others have described as your qualities, and now you humbly wear those as stripes. Why, with dignity? Why I say that is that, you know, again, sometimes our life experience can have us label ourselves in ways that really are not upholding and uplifting and allowing us to really shine in areas. But you've really used all of this and transformed it in a way that you continue to speak such an important message out there.
You know, what I have learned, you know, because it wasn't always that way. I used to be ashamed of the things I went through, because I too used to have that mindset that I had to measure up to the person on either side of me. But I have learned, and you can see it every day, this whole world is broken. And the only way that you're going to reach broken people is if you reveal your past brokenness to them. Jesus said, compel them to me. That means you have to go out where they are. The majority of the world is not going to come into a church building. You have to go where they are, those highways and hedges. That's those homeless shelters. That's, you know, it may be a slum area. The highways and hedges may even be a parliament session. I mean, it could be any situation. So we have to understand that this whole world is broken. And we have been prepared to be the representatives of Jesus Christ. And we have to be real. One thing that I've learned that people appreciate is transparency. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you have to tell them every single detail of your life, but to reveal those things that will help them to understand that I too have been there. Mm-hmm. I too have walked that path. You are not alone. Let's do this together. And that's where a lot of us as men and women of God are missing it. We are missing the transparency. We're so busy trying to perform on the platform that we have forgot our purpose with the people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that that shoulder, that listening, that compassion, that understanding, and the, as you said, that transparency where we say, you know, I know what you're feeling. I've been there too. I can understand, you know, can I pray for you? That's something that I find it really works well. Having that compassionate ear and that non-judgment compassionate ear can often be the difference between someone saying, I've never had anybody that has allowed me to share that and didn't immediately judge me and condemn me for that situation. That can be the difference, can't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It does. And sometimes when I speak in that manner, especially when I'm at an event or workshop or conference, sometimes it's a shock to people because they're not expecting that. They're expecting that motivation. Yay, you can do it. You know, everyone's smiling and happy and glee. But as sometimes you have to look in the mirror and look at your brokenness and see yourself for where you are and accept that and embrace that so that God can heal you. Because if you're not real with yourself, you won't allow him to be real with you either.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, for you to share that, and anybody who has got a circumstance where they're trying to hide because they think, you know, I don't want to share that, that really can be what, as you say so beautifully, and the Bible says, what how we compel people to Jesus. Because it's like, well, if you can go through that and have so much hope and such a light and love for him, who is this Jesus? I want to know him, you know, and that in itself can be a huge testament. Kenda, share a little bit more about your work. How can people reach out to you? How can we support you?
Well, what I'm doing right now, my heart, for some reason, God has made it West Africa. That's my heart. Not that the United States doesn't need help, but West Africa needs a lot of help. There are 18 countries in West Africa, 371 million people, and there's not one sustainable women and girls shelter there. So you have them hiding, you have them walking around in silence, silently screaming, you have them going to Libya, you have them being oppressed and suppressed, and their cries are going unheard. So what I believe he has called me to is to help be that voice. You know, I used to be a person who was scared to speak. I was naive. I kept everything in, you know, very timid, didn't want to talk. But now he has brought out that boldness in me that I thought, of course, I would never have. And so it's like being a voice to let them know that it doesn't matter if you're from Nigeria, whether you're from Australia, Venezuela, or the United States. We all have something in common. We are women. And there are certain things that we will all go through in this life because we are females. And that's the niche that God has me to use. We are all women, whether if you're wearing a burqa, whether you have a scarf around your head, whether you have everything covered but your eyes. We are all women, and there are certain things that we all can relate to. So I speak to the woman, not to the Muslim, not to the Christian, not to the prostitute, not to the stripper, not to the governor, not to the first lady, but to the woman, to the root, because that's what he wants to heal.
Yeah. And Kendra, what's the best way for people to reach out to you and to find out more?
Sure. I have a website, internationalkendra.net. I am also on Facebook. My business page is International Kendra. I'm on LinkedIn, which is Kendra DeLarge. My email address is internationalkendra@gmail.com. And my United States contact number is 469-340-2809.
Yeah, wonderful. We'll put all of those links on the show notes as well. One thing I would love to, if you think of some of the work that you're doing there, and, you know, obviously shedding light on to that, are there some stories, are there some things you want to share with us today as to some of the impact that you're seeing happening over there?
Yes, well, I will tell you that when you go into an enemy's camp, you're going to be met with a lot of opposition. So there are a lot of strongholds. There are a lot of things that you have to break through, a lot of mentalities, a lot of cultural biases and stigmas. And West Africa is predominantly male, of course, male dominated. So you have this woman who's not even from West Africa, trying to help women in West Africa. So there are a lot of things that I have to go through with the Lord on this side before we can even break ground on the other side. We haven't even broken ground yet, but we've made contact and connections. And I've been to West Africa twice, but there are a lot of barriers to break through and a lot of things that God has to prepare in order for this to be right, because it is going to be so transformational and so impacting, and it's going to change the lives of the women, not to change their culture, but to empower the victim and end the violence that's going on in the culture. Mm-hmm. So when the enemy has to let go of his territory, you're going to get hit with a lot of opposition. He's going to attack you from each and every side. Mm-hmm. As far as success stories, I'm sure you may have heard a lot of stories about women starting to take charge, and women starting to raise up and have voices. So it's being broken through, but they need some help from people on the outside that already know what it's like in the fight. And I'm one of those people. I'm sure you're one of those people, and there are thousands of others. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, prayer is one thing that will certainly, certainly help towards that, because as we know, prayer can bring so many answers. And I guess people who are on the ground there that perhaps can connect with you, that they may already have some relationships with people there, even some organizations who have got connections there. It's about connections and building and uniting, building that collaborative community that together you can continue to make an impact. And I believe from some of the other guests that I've had on other podcasts that in those areas, even though they are developing, they do have technology. So do some of those women then that you're here to really serve and support and get behind, do you know whether they would have access to your interview and to other people and just knowing that people here are praying for them and really their daily actions is all about really getting to a place where they can get real support and help too. Do they have access to that?
Yes. You know, a big misconception about West Africa is that it's totally third world. We see a lot of that on the media, but they have a lot of technology. Facebook creator Mark Zuckerberg has been there. Bill Gates has been there. There's a lot of technology. There's a great STEM program there for many of the girls. I am mentoring a young lady in Kenya who works in cybersecurity. So there's a lot that's going on that we don't hear about. So, of course, don't get me wrong. There are areas that they don't get signals because the technology and the range of access is not as vast as it would be in Australia and here in North America. But there are areas and there are people who can be reached and who have that access. You know, another thing, it's not just the poor people or the ones that are impoverished or the ones that, you know, are without money that are going through these things. There are governor's wives. There are first ladies. You know, sometimes we think that because they have this high title that they are not broken and they're not looking for a way out. Some of them are looking for a way out, too. So what I understand is that it's not just going to be the poor people. It may be some rich people who need a way out too, and they realize that their money can't hide them anymore or save them.
Yeah, so true. And on that internet connection, there are vast parts of Australia, Kendra, who still don't have internet connection. And I believe I had a show that was actually syndicated on local Zimbabwe radio show, aspiring, inspiring aspiring entrepreneurs. And so, you know, our message can impact, knowing that there are people who are praying for them and who are there to support them, and that their resources there that they can tap into can be immensely helpful, can't it, for people who think that no one cares, you know, in the world about them. But you certainly are spearheading that project, that program, and we wish you and pray for ongoing support and favor. May I also say a word of prayer for you, Kendra? That's something that I would love to do, and I do that for all of my guests. Fantastic. Good. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with Kendra. Lord, the situations and circumstances in her life, just hearing, our heart just goes out, our compassion goes out, but also we celebrate alongside her, knowing that she grasped onto your word, she leaned into you, and through, you know, your strength and your comfort and your love, your forgiveness, she's been able to transform her life and now hold the mantle for other women who themselves are now struggling through these situations. Lord, if someone is listening today or watching today, or they know of someone, we really do pray that they will hear Kendra's words of support, of love, of compassion, and know that they are not judged. They are loved. There is forgiveness there, and there is hope. There is always hope for a better future and a better tomorrow. And of course, with you, miracles happen. Father, we just want to pray for the mission, the projects that Kendra is spearheading. Will you continue to bless that? Will you continue to open up us where the enemy, we pray in Jesus' name, that be broken and bound, that no longer will enemy will get in her way, but rather open up through the key connections for key people who can really support her and pave the way, that her information, that her words, that her programs and everything that she offers gets into the hands and the ears of the women that really need to hear this. And we continue to just uphold her in our prayers, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for the work that you continue to do. Reach out to us. We want to come, you know, invite you to come back. You're doing such great work. And, you know, if your message of hope, inspiration, and a love of a God that really, you know, is compassionate, forgiving and loving, can continue to give hope to people, women all over the world, then, you know, it's an honor to be able to provide a platform that can enable you to do that. So God bless.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com, changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.